Man, the title of my sermon this evening is Life Can Be Beautiful. Life can be beautiful. There are a lot of things in this world and things that we experience in our lives that are truly beautiful. Obviously, all of us go through pain and sorrow and struggles and hard things in our life, but there are also a lot of just beautiful moments that we get to experience in this life and so many good things that God gives us to enjoy in this world that we sometimes don't think about. You know, Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse 18 there, if you're there, it says, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four, which I know not. And the idea here is that these things are so wonderful, they're so sublime that he can't even really process it. You know, he can't even really put it into words necessarily, just how beautiful these things are. And look at the things he brings up, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And obviously we can stop and analyze these four different elements here of the beauty that he sees in the world. Obviously, the way of an eagle in the air, we've all stood and just looked up and gazed at an eagle flying through the air. It's a beautiful, majestic sight. This proverb talks about just the greatness of, you know, for example, the lion or the eagle, these magnificent creatures that God has made. We all enjoy going to the zoo or going out in nature and seeing God's magnificent creation. But what about the way of a serpent upon a rock? You know, this might not be as obvious, right? Why would a serpent upon a rock be beautiful? Because obviously the serpent has a negative connotation in Scripture. As we talked about this morning, the serpent is a picture of the devil, Satan, right? And obviously a serpent is something that when you see it in the wild, it might invoke fear, might be a little bit scary. It might be something that you don't want to run into when you're out there walking or whatever. But I think that the idea here is that even some things in our lives that are maybe a little bit scary or a little bit negative or harmful, you know, there can still be beauty in those things. Even in some of the pain and sorrow that we go through in life, there is something sometimes wonderful about it or beautiful. You know, obviously I think about doing, you know, long distance running. That's something that I love to do. And a lot of times it can be very painful and there's a lot of suffering there, but yet there's something beautiful about coming through that experience. You think about women with childbirth. Obviously, childbirth is extremely painful. It's miserable, but it's also beautiful, especially when you're just the one watching, you know, and you're not the one actually feeling the contractions. But even negative things in life, sometimes there can be beauty to be found in those things. The way of a ship in the midst of the sea. When I think about a ship in the midst of the sea, I think about just the fact that the ship is in some ways at the mercy of the sea, being tossed by the waves and at the mercy of the storm and so forth. And in many ways, this is an analogy for our lives. As we go through life, there are so many forces that are out of our control. Life doesn't really turn out the way that we necessarily planned it. But yet, it ends up wonderful for those who love God, because all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. The way of a man with a maid. Obviously, this is talking about the beautiful relationship that God has designed for man and woman within the bonds of marriage. This is a beautiful thing. And in fact, there's another scripture on this. If you would, flip over to Psalm 133. But while you're turning to Psalm 133, I'm going to read for you from Proverbs chapter 5. The Bible reads in Proverbs 5:18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Right? That young love, that married life, that is a beautiful thing. It's something that we get to enjoy in life. Getting married and enjoying that relationship between the man and his wife, right? The way of a man with a maid. Look at Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. And in this passage, we see there's a beauty in friendship. There's a beauty in human relationships, right? Brethren dwelling together in unity, getting together with God's people and having fellowship, common ground, enjoying camaraderie with our fellow man is beautiful. It's compared to a picturesque scene of dew upon the mountains and so forth. Flip over, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. While you're turning there, I'll read for you from Psalm 104. The Bible reads in verse 13, "He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which he hath planted, where the birds make their nest. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies." You see, there's a lot of beauty in the little things of this world, just out there in the natural world, the trees, the birds, the sun, the moon, the stars, things to enjoy that God has created, just beauty that's out there every single day. We walk out the door and we can choose to see the beauty in this world and enjoy those things that God has created for us. But today, so many people, their senses are so dulled by just having to just have all of this just constant fun and excitement and just rah, rah. You know, they don't sometimes just stop and enjoy the simple things in life. Just the simple things of just eating a piece of buttered bread. You know, just drinking a glass of milk. Just enjoying the birds chirping in the morning and seeing how beautiful even nature can be. We have beautiful relationships in our life with siblings and parents and children and spouse and what, you know, you go down the list. And you say, well, those relationships aren't always beautiful. Yeah, but sometimes they are. Sometimes they're horrible. Sometimes they're a big pain. Sometimes they're bad. You say, well, I don't have a good marriage. Yeah, but you know what? It used to be good, remember? And so enjoy the good times in life. There's so much good to be thankful for and to enjoy. There's so many beautiful moments that we've all had in our lives. We don't want to just be greedy and just think that our life just always has to be great all the time and perfect all the time. No, just enjoy the good when it's there. When it's difficult, when it's hard, you grind it out. You just endure it. You push through. But there are so many times when life can be beautiful. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God." Flip over to chapter 5, verse 18. See, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God has given us richly, the Bible says, all things to enjoy. God has given us richly all things to enjoy. There are all kinds of wonderful, good things for us to enjoy in life, even things as simple as just work and accomplishing something and eating and drinking and rejoicing with our friends. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:18. "Behold that which I have seen. It is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God." There's so many beautiful things that God has given us. The Bible says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Every phase of life has its beauty, right? There's something beautiful about a baby. Something beautiful about little toddlers, little children, right? All of our different stages of life have their own beauty. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 29, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head. The beauty of old men, you know, you're busy dying it. But in reality, the beauty of old men is the gray head. You say, well, how is that beautiful? Because, you know, God has made all things beautiful in his time. And so even old age has a beauty to it, if you'll see it, if you'll look at it through that lens. Now, obviously, there are a lot of bad times as well in life. Go, if you would, to chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes, verse 14. Right? Obviously, not everything in life is beautiful. There are some ugly things in this world. There are some ugly situations, ugly relationships, ugly people, for crying out loud. But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. And so notice, God has set the one over against the other. Basically, good days and bad days often come back to back. One day you have a good day, other day you have a bad day, and then usually after you have a bad day, the next day is a good day. And that's kind of the way life works. There's sort of an ebb and flow between good times and bad times. The Bible says in Psalm 30, verse 5, and if you would flip over to Psalm 126, but in Psalm 30, verse 5, it says, for his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning, right? Our life is a mix of good times and bad times. And if you're going through a bad time right now, if you're going through a miserable, suffering time, realize that weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. God has set the one against the other. There's the good time, there's a bad time. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. In the book of Job, Job's wife confronts him after he's lost everything and in enormous physical pain. And she says to him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. He's saying, look, you know, God's been good to me. God's blessed me. Life has been beautiful. And right now, it's not beautiful. But I'm willing to accept the good and the evil that comes from the hand of the Lord. I'm not just going to say no. I'm only going to take the good and reject the bad. That's just the way life works. It's a mixture of both. Look at Psalm 126, verse 1. It says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream, right? But the captivity itself is bad, right? They're in exile. They're going through something difficult. They're suffering. But when he turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Go, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 1 in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. You see, life can be beautiful, and we need to be content with such things as we have. We need to be like the Apostle Paul, where he said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And so the Apostle Paul is saying that whatever life throws at us, we can rejoice evermore. We can always give thanks and go through life thankful for the good times and understanding that the bad times are necessary. They're a necessary evil. This idea that somehow you're going to get your life to a point where there's no suffering, no sorrow, no pain, it's just never going to happen, my friend. And so if you're just constantly longing for that perfect life, dream on. because it's not going to be there. In fact, the people in this world who have what you think would make someone happy, right? Like the people who have the good looks and the money and the fame and the popularity, these people are often very miserable. They can't even enjoy any of it. They can't even see the beauty in it, even that's right in front of them, because their senses are so dulled from overindulging and being greedy, right? But to the simple man, to the simple woman who is able to be content in whatsoever state and to be able to just be thankful for what God gives us and to be able to just enjoy the little things, enjoy nature, enjoy food, enjoy drink, enjoy people, and just enjoy the beauty that's right there in front of us, well, that, you know, we can be happy anywhere. You know, the Bible says, he that is of a merry countenance hath a continual feast, right? Just having a good attitude, just being merry and cheerful, your life is like a continual feast. It doesn't matter what food is actually on the plate, because your life is just a continual feast, because you're just looking at things with a different attitude. You know, you're choosing to be joyful. You know, the Apostle Paul, while in custody and being shipped to these various, you know, court appointments and being in the prison and stuff, he said, I think myself happy. He considered himself to be happy, right? I mean, even when he's writing us these scriptures about rejoicing and being joyful, many times he's writing from prison, right? Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians are known as the prison epistles. And yet those epistles contain lots of scriptures telling us to rejoice and give thanks and to be happy and so forth. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible reads, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, not kept by, you know, well, you know, if I keep living right or whatever. No. We're saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we are eternally saved. We've been passed from death unto life. We have everlasting life. We shall not come into condemnation. We've been passed from death unto life. And no man can pluck us out of God's hand. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so the Bible says here that we've got a home in heaven, salvation. We're kept by the power of God. It's all there. It's all waiting for us someday. Wherein, verse 6, ye greatly rejoice. I mean, that's something to rejoice about. Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. If you think about heaviness, it kind of reminds me of our modern word depression, right? Because depression is like pressing down and like heaviness is kind of like dragging you down, right? So if you're going through heaviness, it's like you're depressed is what it's saying, right? You know, sometimes you're going through down times through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so the Bible is saying, look, we rejoice with joy unspeakable, meaning you can't even put it into words, the amount of joy that we rejoice with. And you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. You know, I don't feel that way. I don't have that kind of joy in my life. Well, you know what? It's time to be filled with the Spirit, because the Bible says fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, right? If you want to have love and joy and peace in your life, man, get in the Word of God. Sing praises to God. Pray to the Lord. Pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because God can impart these things unto you, and you can have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. You can have these things in your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the Bible says, yeah, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You know, how many times in your life are you just overwhelmed by the goodness of God and just overwhelmed by something in this world that is so beautiful, that God has given us to enjoy and just overwhelmed with the beauty of your life, the beauty of your situation. And you know, there's so many things that we take for granted that are really, truly beautiful. You know, I literally just looked at a picture of my family, and I'm not talking about my family as in my wife and children, but I looked at a picture of my family from back when I was a kid, and I just looked at a picture of our family, and I was just overwhelmed with gratitude, like, wow, you know, God really blessed me with such a beautiful family and a beautiful childhood. These are beautiful people, and I just was overwhelmed with gratitude and thanks to God for that. But, you know, do you think I thought about that when I was a teenager or something? You know, just, mom and dad, I just want to tell you how beautiful this family is. Right? Because often we just get self-absorbed and self-centered and we just complain and murmur and find everything wrong with our situation instead of seeing the beauty that's right there in front of us. And the goodness that's right there in front of us, right? It's really just about what you choose to focus on. You know, are you going to go through life thankful and grateful and praising God for all the wonderful gifts? Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, right? Because of all the wonderful gifts that he gives us all the time. And so many times we just don't think about it. We just ignore it. We just tend to just be focused on self instead of focusing on others and focusing on what God has done for us and focusing on, like I said, just the beauty that's right in front of us every single day. And you know what? Maybe there are people listening to this sermon that live in some stupid place, but we live in Arizona, okay? You want to talk about beauty, okay? You know, I can't speak for every place that's out there, but man, there's just so much beauty. I mean, just every night we have pretty much the most incredible sunset in the world virtually every night. We just take it for granted, but you know, do you even look at it? Have you even noticed the beauty that we have right here? And obviously, you know, other places, they have their beauty or whatever, I guess. But, you know, there's just a lot to be thankful for, and it's just easy to think about all the bad things or the things that we don't have, and we need to stop and be thankful for the things that we do have. You know, even when things go bad in our lives, no matter how bad they get, we've still got that home in heaven reserved for us. We've still got the rewards in heaven waiting for us. We've still got the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls, right? We've got so much to be thankful for. It's all going to end well for us if we're saved. And so we need to keep that in mind. Now, look if you would at 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. There are some times in the Bible when even great men of God actually come to a place of despair where they despair of life itself and even wish that they would die, right? Because life has its low points. Life definitely has its low points, my friend. Life, that's why the title of the sermon is not, hey, life's always beautiful all the time. The title of the sermon is, life can be beautiful. Every once in a while, I'm just kidding. Sometimes, you know, there's some beauty to be enjoyed. Life can be beautiful. And, you know, those of us that are mindful of this, that are thinking about this, that are content, and we strive to have gratitude and look on the bright side of life and rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Those of us with that philosophy, we have a lot more moments where we stop and actually just marvel at how beautiful this life can be. And you know, there are so many times when I'm just overwhelmed with feelings of euphoria, and I'm not taking drugs, people. All right, I've never taken drugs, okay? I don't need a substance in order to feel feelings of euphoria, okay? I've felt plenty of feelings of euphoria just through spiritual epiphany or even just enjoying the outdoors or just beautiful moments with family and friends and loved ones. I've had so much euphoria in my life that I don't need to take drugs. No one needs to take drugs. If you take drugs, you're stupid because the lows are gonna be way worse than whatever highs you think you're getting from that. What goes up must come down. And so taking drugs is just a recipe for being depressed in the long run and suffering and being miserable in the long run. But look what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now, why is it that the Apostle Paul does not want them to be ignorant of this? You know, why is Paul saying, look, guys, we don't want you to be ignorant about how we got in such a bad situation. We were pressed out of measure, above strength. I mean, you know, we were just pushed beyond our limits to where we despaired even of life, meaning that, like, we wished we were dead. It was so bad, we didn't even want to continue, right? And that's a pretty bad place to be. Why does he not want them to be ignorant about this? Because he wants them to understand that they're not the only ones that are going through a hard time. You know, a lot of people today, they portray their lives as being perfect. On social media or whatever outlet, they just only show the good things. And it's just, hey, look at my little picture perfect, little family, my picture perfect house. And oh, look how everything's so wonderful and whatever. Folks, it's a lie. It's a fraud. These happy people, they're not out there. They're not real. It's all fake. Seriously, though. You know, it's just like people will choose to only show you the good things. And hey, that's fine. We don't necessarily want to see all their garbage anyway. But the point is, though, you don't want to get the idea that somehow somebody's life is actually that perfect, because it just isn't. It isn't. All the things that you're going through, there's no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. Right? The same troubles, the same temptations, the same trials are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Everybody's going through trials, tribulations, hardships. Saved people, unsaved people, watered down Christians, zealous Christians. If you know someone who you think just lives on easy street, I guarantee if you got to know that person a little better, you'd find out about some of the really hard, painful, miserable things that they've gone through in their lives. Not everybody necessarily puts that on display. But the Apostle Paul is saying, look, I'm not only going to tell you about the successes, I want to tell you about a time that it got so bad for us that we despaired even of life. We didn't even want to go on living. It was so bad. Why does he want them to know that? To realize, hey, you're not the only one going through stuff. We're all going through stuff. Everybody is going through things at one time or another. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to you. Word. He said, look, it was a nightmare. It was rough. We despaired of life. It was hard. It was painful. It was miserable. But you know what? At the end of the day, I look back on it and I rejoice at just the simplicity, the sincerity, the grace of God. Just looking, you know, when it's over, you can look back on even miserable experiences and actually enjoy them after the fact. Who knows what I'm talking about? You know, you look back and say, hey, that was the most painful, brutal, difficult experience. But then you look back on it and you actually enjoy the memory and enjoy, like, and think, well, you know what? When you see the whole picture, it's beautiful, right? It's sort of like if you get too close to a painting, it's ugly, right? Just all these like weird smears of paint and everything when you get too close, right? Then you back up and it's this magnificent piece of art, right? So any given moment in our lives can be ugly, painful, miserable. But then when you back up, it's all part of the beauty, and you're actually glad that those things happen. You know, I can think of several examples. I don't want to make this sermon like too personal to me or something, but I can think of several examples in my life of things that were miserable at the time, but afterward I really liked looking back on it, thinking about it. I was glad that it happened, and it was something that was helpful, and it was a blessing, and it was even beautiful after the fact. But the Apostle Paul's not the only one who despaired of life in Scripture, is he? Jonah also despaired of life. If you would, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. While you're turning to 1 Kings 19, I'll read for you from Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah is just saying, hey, it's better for me to die than to live, man. Just take my life from me. I mean, he's saying this to God. In verse 8, it says that the sun did arise and God prepared a vehement east wind and the sun did beat upon the head of Jonah. And we can kind of relate to this in Arizona, this feeling, right? Sun's beating on your head, you're fainting. The sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even to death." He's in a low point. He's going through a bad time. He just had a great victory in the previous chapter. Now he's got a low point, right? 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 4, how about Elijah? Look at the Bible in verse 4. "But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die and said, 'It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers.'" And stop and think about it. I mean, this guy literally just had the most awesome experience of his life. He was just on Mount Carmel facing off with the prophets of Baal. He literally prayed down fire from God out of heaven that consumed the sacrifice and the altar. And he had this marvelous victory. He got to kill like 850 false prophets and just have the whole nation see the mighty power of God. What a victory. And then right after that, next chapter, he's super depressed because now Jezebel's trying to kill him and this and that. He's an outlaw. He's on the run. I mean, that's just kind of how life works. Often as you read scripture, great victories in the Bible are often followed by great defeats. But the converse is also true. Sometimes the darkest hour is just before dawn and you'll go through a low point and then things will get better. You know, and there have been so many times when I was super gloomy and down in the dumps. And then just in a matter of hours or a day or something, then I'm just doing great. And nothing even changed about my situation. You know, I just changed my attitude and just started looking on the bright side, just started enjoying life a little bit. Now, look, I think that many of us, if not all of us, have despaired of life at some point. Now, look, I've never been suicidal. And let me just say this right now. If you ever hear the news that Pastor Anderson committed suicide, it means that they got me. Okay, everybody knows who they are, okay? You know, don't ask me who that, you know who I'm talking about, okay? Somebody got me, all right? You fill in the blank. You know, somebody got me. Somebody got to me. You know, don't let them suicide me, folks, and get away with it, all right? Further, you know, I just want to go on the record right now. I will never commit suicide, okay? So if it's ever reported that I did, it's a lie. Okay, I've never been suicidal. I don't understand suicide. You know, I've known people that have committed suicide. And let me say this. People who've committed suicide, I'm not angry at them. I felt bad for them. It's really sad. You know, whenever somebody that I've known has committed suicide, I'm not just like, oh man, that's so, you know, I'm not some Roman Catholic, like, oh, it's the worst unforgivable sin. No, I'm just like, man, that's so sad. And usually you dig a little deeper. There's a reason why they committed suicide and they were going through a lot of bad things and whatever. And they despaired and gave up and committed suicide. Obviously, suicide is not the answer. I will never commit suicide. I've never been suicidal. But there have been times when I have despaired of life in the sense that I kind of like Jonah, just wish that I was dead sometimes because I was so miserable. And I will say this, that most of the time that I've ever felt like despairing of life. And again, not actually thinking of doing something as stupid as committing suicide, but I'm just saying like, you know, just where I've just been thinking like, man, I don't even want to be alive right now. You know, I'm just despairing even of life. Like, I don't even want to live. You know, it's sort of like Jonah, sort of like Elijah. You know, Elijah's not slitting his wrists under the juniper tree, folks, but he's basically just despairing of life and saying, God, I don't want to be alive anymore. And, you know, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but probably most of us at some point have had that feeling of, I don't even want to be alive anymore. I'm sick of it. And just kind of just despairing of life and whatever. Maybe you haven't. Well, good. You will tomorrow. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is, you know, for me, like the times that I felt that way was usually when I was dealing with like an extreme amount of physical pain. You know, when you're just going through extreme amounts of physical pain and, you know, the painkillers aren't working and you're just miserable and you're just in an enormous amount of pain. I mean, that's when I've probably more than ever despaired of life. But there have been other times when there were emotional things that made me despair of life. You know, it obviously different people go through different things. But look, I've been through some pretty painful things in my life. You know, both physically and emotionally. You know, I'm not going to get up here and you know, give you the sob story of my life or something. But you know what? I can honestly say I've been through some stuff, okay? And so I've been through enormous amounts of physical pain. And maybe you've been through things that were worse. I don't know. I'm not here to have a contest with you about it. But you know what? I've gone through some things that were such torture and so much pain and so much misery that, you know, I despaired of life. And you know what I've found, though, is that no matter how bad things are, they always end. They always end. You know, and I've been through so many bad things, and I felt like this is never going to end. This will never be normal. This pain will never go away. This ailment will never go away. This, you know, relationship problem or this emotional problem or whatever, you know, will never go away. But you know what? It always does. It always ends. And you say, well, my problems never end. Well, when you're dead, it will end. But either way, it's going to end. But you know what? Most of these things end much sooner than that. But you know what I've noticed, though, is whenever I'm going through something really bad, whenever I'm going through physical pain or sickness or an injury or, just a relationship problem, financial problem, you know what? I always feel like it's never going to end while I'm there in the midst of it. It just always feels like, man, this is just my life now. And people come to me, even as a pastor, and say to me things like, you know, I can't just live the rest of my life this way. But it's like, hold on a second. No, you know, you don't have to live the rest of your life this way. You just have to live today this way. Because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Usually we think of that in a negative sense, like, hey, don't boast thyself of the morrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. But, you know, if we could flip that over and say, well, don't get too depressed about your situation because you don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Somebody who's sitting in prison today and thinks that they're not going to get out, you know, they might find out tomorrow the news that they're going to be released. I'm sure somewhere in the world that's happening, literally today and tomorrow, right? Because all throughout this world, people are going through bad times that they think won't end, and then boom, something happens, something changes, something unexpected. We don't know what a day will bring forth. That's why we've just got to take life one day at a time. And just let God bless us or put us through trials as he sees fit. And whatever God gives us, we just have to just deal with it, you know, and just be thankful for the good and endure the bad and just grind it out and get through it. The Bible says in Psalm 28, verse 6, blessed be the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him. And I am helped, therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. You know, you can't really be greatly helped unless you've had great problems. You can't really have great healing unless you've had great injury or great illness, right? You can't have great deliverance unless you've been in bondage or captivity, right? And so life is this series of ups and downs, and the good times and the bad times, and you've got to learn to endure the bad times, get through it, even try to find the joy in it, even try to find the beauty in it. Just like the Apostle Paul and Silas, and they're in jail, and they're singing praises to God, literally having been beaten the same day, that the wounds and the blood and the bruises are still fresh on their back, and they're singing praises to God at midnight in the prison. They're just having a party. How can they be having a party at midnight in jail with a fresh beating? Because he that is of a merry countenance hath a continual feast. It's just life is one continuous party for them. You just enjoy, right? But then the people who just want to be unthankful, ungrateful, discontented, not thinking about all the good things that God has done for them, not enjoying the beauty that's out there in this world. Instead, you know, they just want to just be self-centered and just complaining and miserable. And they, you know, their life's not a continual feast. Their life is just a drudgery. And even when things are good, they find a way to complain about it. Plus, there are people today who just, they've dulled their senses with things like drugs or overindulgence, and really overindulgence in anything, but especially overindulgence in things like video games and entertainment, just laziness, slothfulness, right? People are indulging in pornography. They're indulging in, you know, whatever, just going overboard into just continual entertainment and enjoyment, whatever. Their senses are so dulled, their reward center of their brain is so worn out that they can't enjoy the sunset anymore. You know, they can't enjoy a cold glass of water on a hot day. They can't, it's like? It's like people who, you know, don't eat a lot of sugar. You can just put a little sugar in the food and it tastes really sweet to you. You know, the Bible says to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. But the full soul loatheth an honeycomb. And so the people who just overindulge in the pleasures of this world, then it's like they can't enjoy the sunset. They can't enjoy, a bite of watermelon or something. You know, they can't enjoy, and I don't really like watermelon that much. That was a bad example. But, you know, they can't enjoy, you fill in the blank, whatever the food, whatever the drink. And you know what? These people, that's why they don't understand verses that talk about, like, wine making glad the heart of man, oil causing his face to shine, and bread strengthening his heart. They think like, oh, you think grape juice made people glad? Because to them, it has to be booze. That's all they can enjoy. Right? For them, it's like, duh, you know, all I can enjoy is beer. They can't understand just the joy of literal just fruit or bread. Or just buttered bread, you know, or milk washing down your buttered bread, or buttered bread with salt on it washed down with a cold glass of milk. Okay, you know, if you look at this verse about wine making glad the heart of man, it's literally in the context of like bread and grass and water, you know, and then, but their mind just goes to alcohol. You know, hand me another Bud Dumber. And so I can enjoy what God has given me, you know. And they want to get drunk because, you know, again, they don't get it. They don't get it. They don't understand the joy of just food and drink. You know, but somebody who actually is content and thankful and doesn't overindulge, lives life a little bit hungry all the time, well, you know, they understand perfectly how much joy there is in just a cold drink, or a warm bite of tasty food. Folks, there's so much to be thankful for. Life can truly be beautiful. And you know what? When you're a Christian, life is beautiful when you're a Christian. Now look, if you're unsaved, well then, you know, maybe your life just sucks and then you're gonna die and go to hell and whatever. It's just not, you know, there's not necessarily a lot of beauty there to be seen. But for those of us that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, you know, our life is beautiful, and even the trials and tribulations, even the pain and suffering, even the misery that we go through, it's beautiful. It's like a woman giving birth. It's painful, but it's beautiful. Don't laugh at me back there. What do you know about childbirth? You've only given birth to 12 kids. The point is, hey, there's beauty to be seen. Maybe you don't see it, but I see it. But honestly, we all go through the, you know, and plus, you know, childbirth in women, it's sort of like when men have a cold. You know, it's kind of a similar, it's a similar level of suffering and discomfort. You know, women don't understand how bad colds hit us, okay? But here's the thing, you know, at the end of it all, you look back over your life, and if you loved God, if you were number one saved and number two, you loved God, then I'm telling you, life will ultimately be beautiful. And you will end up in a good place because of the fact that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. I'm not saying that there aren't going to be some ugly things in your life. I have a lot of ugly things about my life. I have a lot of ugly memories and bad things and painful things and sorrows and trials and tribulations, just like you. I'm just like you. I'm not some just smiley Joel Osteen up here, just where everything's going my way all the time. No, my friend, you know, I'm not trying to compose a blues song up here, but you know. But I've been down a long time, my friend. But the point is that, you know, at the end of the day, though, God has blessed me immensely, and I'm thankful. And at the end of the day, you know, when it's all said and done, there's been more beauty and more good than bad. And so you've got to just learn to focus on those things. And you know what's so funny is, like, you know, you could think about your childhood and you could think about all the negative things that your parents did, or you can think about all the good times with your parents. You know, you could think about your marriage and think about all the good times with your spouse, or you could just think about all the times that your spouse was a pain. Because I guarantee you that in any relationship, both are going to exist. You could just think about all the bad things about fill in the blank relationship, siblings, spouse, you know, whatever. You could just think about that, or you could choose to think about all the good things and be a much happier person than to just sit there and just dwell on that time when you were treated unfairly. Just get over it, man. You've treated people unfairly in your life. You've been treated unfairly. Move on. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for our church. Thank you for all the beautiful relationships that we have in this church. Thank you for the beauty that we see in your word every day when we read it. Thank you for the beauty that you've given us in the natural world, Lord. Thank you for all of the countless blessings that you bestow on us every day. Help us to stop and realize it and be thankful and not to be bitter and murmuring and complaining about the things that don't go well. Help us to just realize that suffering and pain are just a part of life, Lord. And help us to find the beauty in this world wherever we can. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.